Okay. I'll be reading an excerpt from Rebecca Manley Pippert's book, Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World. When I was working in collegiate ministry, a very bright student, Sue, came to me. She told me that she was an agnostic, but that her best friend, Larry, had become a Christian. He talked to her a lot about his faith and did not neglect her after his conversion. Instead, he brought her to his campus Christian gatherings and introduced her to his new Christian friends. He made her feel comfortable and a part of his very different Christian world. He answered as best he could her many intellectual questions about his faith, and most importantly, he loved her. "I've seen what faith in Christ has done for Larry," she told me. "I see the love these Christians have for each other and for me. I've seen what Jesus is like in the Gospels, and a lot of my questions have been answered. But I still don't believe. I'd like to find God, but I'm plagued with doubts. Please don't ask me to pray to receive Christ. It'd be dishonest. What should I do?" I suggested, "Tell God, or the four walls, if that is the one you think you are speaking to, that you want to find out if Jesus is truly God, and that if you could feel more certain, you would follow him. Then begin to read the Gospels every day. Each day as you read, something will probably hit you and make sense. Whatever that is, do it as soon as you can." She gulped and said, "That's radical, but I'll do it." So she began having what she called her pagan devotions, and the Christians around her prayed that God would speak to her in the scriptures and give her concrete situations in which she could obey. Several months later, she said she wanted to talk to me. Here is Sue's story. "One day I read in the Bible, 'If someone steals your coat, don't let him have only that, but offer your cloak as well.' For whatever reason, that verse hit me between the eyes. So I said to the four walls, 'Listen, walls, or God, if you're there, I'm going to do what this verse says if the opportunity arises today. I want to remind you that I'm trying to do things your way in order to find out if you exist and if Jesus really is who he says. Amen.' The day went by and I forgot the verse. Then I headed to the library to continue working on my senior thesis. Just as I sat down at my designated thesis desk, this guy comes up and starts yelling at me. He told me the school hadn't given him his thesis desk, so he was going to take mine. Everyone knows how important your thesis desk is for your work. The school only gives you one. I started yelling back, and pretty soon we caused quite a ruckus. But it was when he glared at me and said, 'Look, I'm stealing it from you whether you like it or not,' that it suddenly hit me. I just looked at him and moaned, 'Oh, no, no, I can't believe it.' And to myself, I thought, 'Look, God, if you are there, I do want to know if Jesus is God, but isn't there some other way of finding out besides obeying that verse? I mean, couldn't I tithe or get baptized or give up something else? But don't take my thesis desk. I mean, with my luck, I'll give up the desk and then discover that you don't exist.' But I couldn't escape the fact that I had read that verse the very same day someone tried to rob me. Before, I had always been amused to see how Jesus aimed for whatever was controlling the person in his conversations with people in the Bible. But now it didn't feel so funny. I took a deep breath, tried not to swear, and said, 'Okay, let me think about it.' He looked bewildered. But just at that moment, the librarian came up. She said she'd heard the conversation and was angered by his behavior. But he immediately began swearing at her and intimidated her so much that she told us we had to see his thesis advisor. So we trotted over to his advisor's office. It was clear to me by now that this guy carried around a lot of rage and was probably a troubled person. The more the guy ranted and raved, the more agitated the advisor became. Finally, the advisor said, 'Well, what does Sue think we should do?' All this time, I kept thinking about what I'd seen in these past several months. I'd seen Larry's life changed. I'd seen something beautiful in this Christian fellowship, something so real I could almost touch it. Even though I was not a Christian, I had been loved by these people. And I'd seen Jesus in the Bible. I felt so drawn to him. I realized that, even without a thesis desk, somehow I still had more than this poor, pathetic guy. I told the advisor that he could have the desk, and the meeting was over. When we walked out the door, this guy grabbed my arm and asked me why in the world I let him have it. I told him he would think I had flipped out, but I was trying to discover if Jesus was really who he claimed to be. In order to know if Jesus was really the way to God, I was attempting to obey the things he told us to do. So I've been reading the Gospels, and today I read that if somebody tried to rip me off, I was supposed to let them, and even throw in something extra to boot. All I could see were the whites of his eyes. So I'm going to give you the desk, but don't press your luck about something extra. Then he asked, "Why in the world would Jesus say such a crazy thing?" Then I said, "Hey, if there's one thing I've learned from reading about Jesus and meeting these Christians, it's that Jesus wants to give us a whole lot more than a thesis desk if we'd let him. I think the basic idea is that it's knowing Jesus that makes us rich, not owning possessions. So that thesis desk is yours." Becky, as I said those words, I just simply knew it was all true. I knew it from the inside out. I kind of felt like God was saying, "Well done. That's the way I want my children to behave." There were a lot of things that Sue did not understand about being a Christian when she became one. But there was one thing she did know. To follow Jesus, or to know Jesus, we must do what he says.